It is straight up at 8 o'clock, a Monday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show. Delighted to have you on the program today. The Sawdust Art Festival brings you the Artist Corner right now. And I just need to say this. I've been in town a little over 20 years, and each and every year I visit the Sawdust Art Festival in the summer. There is a feeling of warmth and comfort in the familiarity that comes with how awesome that celebration is. And it isn't just a festival of art with a bunch of art. It's a celebration each and every summer. And a big reason for its celebration is sitting here in front of me. David Nelson has been creating his custom gold and silver jewelry at the Sawdust since he was 17 years old. This is his 53rd summer there. We are delighted to have him on the program with us this morning. Joining us for the Artist Corner this morning is David Nelson. Welcome, David.
Good morning, Ed. Thanks for having me. I appreciate being here.
I am honored to have you. I could not be happier and more delighted in our last 10 minutes of conversation before we went on air. You've lived quite a life and certainly a music enthusiast.
Yes, sir. I was blessed to see a lot of the rock and rollers, Jimi Hendrix, The Cream, It's a Beautiful Day, Grateful Dead, Jim Morrison. I could go on, and I didn't realize what I was experiencing until after the fact when I grew up. But holy smoke.
I saw Jim Morrison when he was Back to the Crowd, Jim Morrison.
Myself, and I had the Moving Sidewalks, which are ZZ Top, and Sonny and Cher opened for him. So
that's
for a concert.
That's pretty amazing. And you've also got some great stories to tell about here in town and the Sawdust. So if our listeners don't immediately recognize your voice from having come up and spoken to you over the last several years, and I'm sure that you see familiar faces from town from years past.
Yes, sir. I have quite the following clientele. And like Ed was saying, the Sawdust is kind of like what I call the Cirque du Soleil of art. It's colorful. Things are happening all the time. You don't know who's going to walk up. I mean, I've had the fortune to meet Muhammad Ali and Kobe Bryant and so many others who kind of stroll through the Sawdust. So it's a wonderful place. And as Ed says, it's a festival. It's just not an art show.
Right. It's beyond that. And tell me, since this is your 53rd summer, how did you first get in there at 17?
Well, it's kind of a Cinderella story, if you will. I came here in 68 to visit my brother, who was also an artist. And he said, you've got to take you to this place called the Sawdust Festival. It was the first year on our present location. And I came down and he introduced me to some people, some old timers, some are still there. And I was like a kid in a candy store, if you will, or a woman in the Nordstrom shoe department, because I was always going to be an artist. And I'm from Texas originally, Houston, Texas. And I went back, came back in the summer of 69, which was actually my first year to do the show. I was making wire and beaded jewelry and pencil drawings. And then after I went back to Houston, I graduated from high school, and I said, Mom and Dad, I'm moving west, young man, to make my fame and fortune as an artist.
And they were behind that?
Not particularly, but, you know, I was 17, and I got west. I haven't made any fortune. Did some infamous things in the early 70s, but so, and I'm still here. I got a AAA ride, dropped off in front of the festival, and put my things in Tracy Moscatello's booth, who I was working with at the time, and I've been here ever since, 53 consecutive years.
So the creativity behind the jewelry you create is something to behold. It really is. There is something special about each and every piece you create.
Well, thank you. It is. But what people buy from an artist isn't their art. They buy a part of that person's heart and soul, their life. And our true reward for our people buying our artwork is the fact you walk away delighted and excited, and this is so neat to have, and that's really our true payment. Of course, we have to charge because we have to pay the rent.
Right. So when someone, for you, and I know that it's a fact, the gift of serving others and seeing the joy that your pieces bring is everything to you.
Yes, sir. That's it. I've been gifted with my, what I call, I'm here in service of others. That doesn't mean I'm going to clean your house. I might. my service to you is giving you a product or a piece of me that makes you happy. That's my service.
Right. And between when you started 53 summers ago and now there at Sawdust, what are some of the biggest differences you see? And then what has remained exactly the same, if anything?
Well, the differences I've seen is just the community has changed and the rent's more expensive. But As far as the heart and soul of the Sawdust, we work really hard to keep that alive. We're a non-juried show with local artists only, and our rule is you live in town, you make what you sell. So back in the beginning, it was about art. It wasn't about money at all.
Right.
Now it obviously has to be about finances because we have to live here. But that's still community spirit. We are a family. We dysfunction often, but we function when we need to.
Right.
And so that family, art, community spirit is what we strive to keep alive.
Right. And then artists are, would you say temperamental?
Well, sensitive and emotional. Temperamental is a adjective that you can throw in there. Yes, sir.
and have you, as an artist, and I know you've grown as a human being in 53 years, and as an artist right now, as I'm looking at some of the pieces, did you make that piece you're wearing right
this
now?
This is my first actual piece I made. One of my blessings was a photographic memory. I'm self-taught. So I had somebody help me make, actually, that's my second piece. And so I didn't sell it, fortunately, so I still have it. But yes, my art has progressed. I've learned, and I'm still constantly learning. That's another joy about being an artist or a creative person, or a human being for that matter. You never stop learning.
Right. And your demonstrations, you can demonstrate right there at your booth, right?
Yes, sir. I've always built my workshop in my booth. I make everything in my cases right there. I don't do casting on site. But I make everything right there. And for a number of years, I taught classes at the Sawdust. I haven't for about 3 or 4 years. So I invite people in my booth. We have tours every Wednesday, which are great. They're called Sip, Talk, and Walk. And you can get on a tour with a free glass of wine and go to various artists. And I invite them in my booth and actually show them all the tools, how it's made, and right there before them, which is really good because people don't know.
Tell us about the delicate balance of actually silversmithing.
Well, it's a technique, delicate balance. It's like any other craft. It's learned and improved over the years. As an elderly man told me once years ago, if you want to know how to play the piano, you play the piano every day. The more I do my craft, as I'm sure you've gotten much better as a MC, what would you call yourself? Radio host?
A host, a hack, whatever.
Right. So it's just about learning and improving your skill. And there are times when people say, how long does it take you to make that? Well, there are days when I don't know where my creative, I left it on the beach or in the bedroom. Other days, my hands can't keep up with what's going through my mind.
Right. Are you working on several different pieces at a time or
yes,
just
sir.
One at a time?
No, sir. I have so many pieces that I'm working on. I'm working on a series of bracelets, money clips, rings, pendants, earrings, and I'm working on one piece after I soldered it. It goes in what's called the acid bath, and I start working on another piece, working on bracelets. So there's constantly a dozen or two dozen pieces in progress at all times.
Right. You know what I've noticed and what I absolutely have loved and didn't realize it was you that was responsible for it is sometimes you'll be walking through the Sawdust and you'll see a beautiful girl with a plumeria in her ear. And it's you that hands out those plumeria flowers every day. And you say, have an aloha day. Where did that come from?
Where that comes from is the aloha spirit. There's a special about Dukkha Hanamoka, which explains that. But the aloha spirit, as I wish we all lived by that code, it's about being loving your brother, being kind to your brother, giving and sharing. It's not just, hi, how are you doing today? It's what we did that a lot in the 60s. You know, it's about community. It's about loving each other, caring and sharing. And so, and of course, who doesn't like to see a beautiful woman smile? So every time I handed a plumeria to a girl and then say, I hope you may be blessed with the aloha spirit, they get this big smile and say, thank you. I'm going to, like, make my day.
Nothing goes better with a beautiful face than a plumeria on the ear, right?
Well, I'm not sure about that, but these women make the plumerias look so good.
Oh, look at you. Yeah, you got all the right things. You're saying all the right things, man. So another thing that I didn't realize was that you're a huge part of is one of my favorite things to do is to go to the wishing well and toss in a penny, toss in a coin. You have forever had pennies on your countertop, and you encourage people to make a wish at one of those ponds that you have there.
Yes, sir. Well, we've had the wishing pond. Anytime you have, we have the water well, Nelson's Landing, which I named because I've done all the work for it for years. is I would think, what are we going to do with these coins? Where do they go? So I had the idea, go after watching Make-A-Wish, go, or the Make-A-Wish Foundation. That's a perfect place. So I had signs made up, and I also, like you said, Ed, give pennies away in my booth. So here, go Make-A-Wish, because it's such a beautiful organization. So what we do is we collect the pennies. Matter of fact, I need to call Rosanna today to get hooked back up with her. And they are delighted to have them, because I think the Make-A-Wish Foundation is such an amazing thing for some very unfortunate young people who would love to have a wish because they don't know about tomorrow.
Right. I need to once again just reiterate that to the audience, that all the money that's collected from those ponds are donated to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and that's what you personally fostered for Sawdust.
Yes, sir, that is correct. And I've worked with the various staff members to keep that alive. But yes, sir, that's my little pet, if you will, and I'm proud to be a part of that.
And I don't want to embarrass you with this question, but I would say that with the couple of last things that we've discussed, that you definitely define the spirit of Sawdust and what I see Sawdust. How do you define the spirit of Sawdust?
Well, like I said earlier, we're a family. It's a Cirque du Soleil of art, and it's just the family. It's a wonderful thing. I'm not quite sure. I don't know if we have enough time here, Ed, to say how much I love the show. But when you're associating, hanging around a bunch of creative people and people who have come there to share what we are sharing, it's a beautiful thing. I don't know. I could go on and on. And the more I would talk, the more I would tell you how wonderful it is. So I highly recommend those of you who have not been to the show, come by and visit us. There's a lot of things going on. We give classes all year. We have three stages with entertainment. So I'm not sure, Ed, how to answer that question.
All right, that's fair. And your booth in particular, just when they do come by, when our guests come and visit you, tell us about your booth and what goes into it. Because it is old school sawdust. Your booth is old school sawdust.
Yes, sir, it is. Matter of fact, speaking of old, the wood in my booth is over 100 years old. I've collected wood from places around town, old houses. The first stack of wood I had burnt down in a fire in 93. It took 3 days for the pile to burn because it was so stacked so neatly. But I dismantle my booth. I take it down. I rebuild it each year. It's board by board because I may be in a different particular location. And I get the joy of building. It's a lot of work. And about halfway through my booth, I'm going, what are you doing all this work for? You're on your way to old manhood. But then when I get it done, it's my home where I live and work for 66 days and the winter show. And when people walk up, oh, can we get a picture in front of your booth? It is so cool. I just love all the artifacts. And the artifacts in my booth are either old family, like my great-grandmother's butter churn, or there are many pieces there that are from artists who have passed or moved on as a representation. So I love sharing the history of the world through my booth with the patrons who walk in.
Okay. Yeah, I'll say it again. For me, you define the actual spirit of what sawdust is meant to be. And I need to take a right turn with you right here. And let's just talk music. You see, because this is a fascinating comment. I could have you here all day. I swear I could, David. But you've seen everybody. You told me when you walked in, you saw Jimi Hendrix open for Cream.
That's correct. I've had the fortune to see, you pretty much named the rock and rollers, and I saw them. I saw Carole King open for The Who. I've seen Grateful Dead, It's a Beautiful Day, Pogo, Jefferson Airplane, Quicksilver, The Moving Sidewalks, which were ZZ Top before they were ZZ Top, John Mayall and B.B. King and Blue Cheer and Creedence.
Is there anyone you didn't see that you regret?
The Beatles. I had a chance to see The Beatles, but the screaming girls, they busted down the door of the Hilton Hotel in Houston, Texas. I thought, I don't want to deal with that. Now I look back going, I wish I would have gone, even though I probably couldn't have heard them from all the excited young girls.
That ticket in Houston was only $9 back then.
Probably. I paid $6.50 or $5.50 for most all those concerts.
All right. We will look forward to seeing you. What's your booth number this year?
My booth number is 508. I'm up at the top of the show. If you start as soon as you walk in the gate, if you look straight up, you'll see an American flag and a pirate flag. That'd be me. I'm up by the waterfall in the main deck. I'm there all day long in my booth. If I'm not in my booth, that means I just went to get a libation or to the men's room, but other than that, they're all there.
They're all day long.
Come by.
He demonstrates jewelry fabrication every single day. He is absolutely, and I'm going to say it again, he defines the spirit of sawdust. David Nelson, artist, thank you so much for being a part of the Artist Corner this morning.
Well, thank you, Ed, for having me. And there are a number of us artists who define the spirit of the sawdust. I'm not the only one, but I'm an old guy hanging out.
I dig it. David Nelson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
8:17, the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.